Off the Ball Rugby.
The overwhelming kind of reaction is that he's fortunate to be selected there, that, you know, the likes of Tom Jordan, maybe Darcy Graham, that they're unlucky that they're not called up.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
The News Round on Off the Ball.
With UPMC Orthopaedic Care. When things don't move, rotate or bend like they used to, choose us to help you get back in action.
This is News Talk.
Very good evening. You're welcome along to Tuesday night's Off the Ball. It's Owen here with you until 10 o'clock this evening. We're going to have Katie Taylor's coach, Ross Enamite, on the show from 7:30 tonight. So he's going to tell us about how they crafted the plan for their most commanding win against Amanda Serrano, I think it's fair to say. We're going to ask them if it's their most satisfying win as well. I suspect the answer to that question is yes. Very interested to hear what his answer to questions around Katie Taylor's future is, because it feels like a time that might make sense to retire at this point, and nobody could blame her. So loads to get stuck into with Ross Enamite from 7:30. From 8 o'clock then, we're going to be setting the scene for All-Ireland Hurling Final Week. It's coming your way on Sunday. Tommy Rooney's going to join myself and Mick. And we're also going to hear from Pat Ryan, Liam Cahill, Jake Morris and Rob Downey in that slot. And then from 9 o'clock, we're going to hear from Nathan, who has already made it to Royal Portrush ahead of the Open. And we're going to hear a little bit from Scotty Scheffler in a moment, some Shane Lowry in a moment as well. And then before we wrap up tonight, if that wasn't enough, we're going to bring you our latest edition of Settle In. There's an absolutely brilliant conversation with golfer Brendan Lawler, which was carried out by Adrian Barry recently. So loads to look forward to over the next 3 hours. Our number is 0879 180 180 if you want to drop us a WhatsApp. And Cameron Hill will be delivering the News Round very shortly. Cameron, how are you doing?
Hello, Owen.
And Mick McCarthy is here in studio as well. Hello, Mick.
Good evening.
So I think you know, it's sort of a mark of respect on behalf of us as a show to say that any club officer in the county of Cork, in the county of Tipp, we feel your pain right now. It must be the toughest administrative role in the country right now, and possibly the toughest administrative experience ever in the history of Irish sport this week, given the insane demand for All-Ireland hurling tickets. The texts I've been getting from on the ground is like apocalyptic stuff, you know, as if there's been like a zombie invasion into the towns of the people who are texting me, you know, please help, please send out feelers, please do anything to try and stop all these other people who are onto me for tickets. And I'm not sure, has a county board released a statement before on the week of an All-Ireland like this? But Cork understandably came out to say that their full allocation for tickets for the All-Ireland Hurling Final has been distributed and the process is now closed. We will not be in a position to meet any further requests. Because I presume then if you're on the county board, the amount of requests you must be getting from clubs for just an extra one or two must be off the charts. I think I've said this a couple of times in recent years, but this genuinely feels like the most intense battle for All-Ireland tickets there's ever been. I think the feverish Cork population, and let's not forget Tipping in their first All-Ireland for 6 years as well, has just combined in this explosion of interest.
Yeah, and a lot of excitement around this Tipp team as well from Tipp fans. Like, so yeah, it's unbelievable. Like, you just, they brought 60,000 to the All-Ireland semi-final. I think that's all that needs to be said. We knew this was going to happen. But again, we mentioned it very, very briefly last night, but like, I've never known so many people to be stuck at this stage. Normally it's like, be calm, be calm. Like, you know, everyone in your family has one. They break on Saturday, they break on Friday. That is the case usually, and there will be a lot of tickets will come out and people will have requests in from 15 different places. They'll get two on the Saturday morning and then they'll be stuck with two extra ones. There will be tickets come Saturday. Don't panic. There just might not be as many as there always is. I don't know. Maybe mild panic is the way to go. But look, it's great in a way. Like, it is great that there is such demand to, you know, there won't be a seat empty in Croke Park on Sunday. But the stress that must go into it from all corners, I suppose. Like, in Cork as well, you feel sorry. Not just is it the mad kind of like red wave of fans that we're kind of expecting. And it's also, like, how many GA clubs are in Cork, you know, like, well, their allocation feels a lot lighter, you would imagine, than Tipps does, because they have to spread it around so far.
It's funny, it seems to be on the Cork side that, like, I've seen in the few group chats I'm in this week where people are looking, and maybe it says a lot about me that I've maybe more Cork fans than Tipp fans in my life, but it seems to be from the Cork side that they're going, I think I'm in a spot of honour here in terms of getting tickets. Like, that just struck me. in terms of, like, you felt with the, I know it's the All-Ireland final, so, you know, all bets are off, but even in the semi-final, there was such a clamour because Cork wanted to win Croke Park. They wanted to seize it back from all the dubs that would have been going along to that for the novelty that is a semi-final from a dose perspective. But yeah, as you say, like, the colour that they're going to bring and the sea of red that you'll probably see in multiple aerial and drone footage on Sunday is a sight to behold in itself.
We've been to loads of All-Ireland finals. Like, there's a process to this. The clubs is the first thing to go. Everyone knows that. Now, maybe there's more demand than normal or so on. But now the next process begins, which is the trading and the you know, the looking out and the favours and the everything like that. You know, so that's nice. It is only Tuesday.
Yeah.
You know, I got my All-Ireland ticket last year on Wednesday. And I thought I was doing well on Wednesday. I was starting to worry, of course, because that's the natural inclination and it's the human nature that you will worry about something that you really, really want to go to. But I wasn't. My logical brain, which wasn't really activated, knew that, like, Saturday would be fine. And I got it on Wednesday. It's only Tuesday.
Yeah, I just went on to Dundeal there and I see somebody selling two tickets for the Open on Sunday for €0. But they're willing to swap for two All-Ireland hurling final tickets. Feels a touch optimistic. Like, what would you trade for All-Ireland hurling final tickets? I'm sure people
would.
Yeah.
Oh, well, right now I wouldn't be too bothered. I'd take a fiver.
And also the other thing that kind of keeps coming up on social media is just the brand visibility of those that have two All-Ireland tickets to get rid of. Simply Suits, for example. I see you, Simply Suits. Your raffle has certainly come up on my social media page on a couple of occasions.
What do you think of the process of raffling? I saw straight at, like, not too long after the second semi-final, there was some Cork fans who'd been already a day on the search at that stage. I saw giving out about, like, you know, the local raffles in the clubs around the country. It's obviously a big fundraiser every year to try and, like, you know, make something of these, what, you get 3 All-Ireland tickets or whatever you get per club. And they were sort of saying that it was like they shouldn't be getting them because that's of no use. And, you know, real supporters are missing out because of these. Like, personally, I think, you know, there's something brilliant about every club in the country getting All-Ireland tickets and it's an important tradition. But it used to be a trade-off thing and now it's probably more of a money-making exercise. But at the same time, fundraisers don't come along that often and I don't know. I wouldn't begrudge it, but I can imagine people getting annoyed when they're constantly, there's a ticket to be had and these raffles are going on all around the country.
That is maybe a bit more of a grey area, but I think generally speaking, I can't really have too many complaints about the process that the GAA engage in here. It does seem fairly, that seems fairly right that the
and
clubs are on that
as well.
Like, I know there are corporate tickets and a few thousand of them, but I think the GAA kind of straddled that line where it is whatever. Is it 59,000 tickets for club people, and then whatever 10,000 for corporate sponsors? It's got nowhere near the point of, say, some of the mega sports events around
World
the world
Cup finals or Champions
exactly.
League finals. Yeah,
where you'd struggle to see, you know, a quarter of the stadium filled by actual supporters. I see Owen Cormacan in the Examiner was writing earlier that there is one Cork junior club for whom 48 tickets received from the board didn't satisfy even close to half the number of ticket requests put in by registered club members. And when I read that, I was like, that actually doesn't surprise me whatsoever. I suspect that's the lived experience for a lot of people.
Tough. I think people, there's another thing is, like, you know, it'll be terrible not to get there, but I would start saying, if you don't think you're going to get a ticket, start figuring out a way that you can enjoy the experience and the match and be around other people and so on, if that's the way you want to watch it, because it still could be a great day.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I understand you miss out on something, but don't take that as, like, say if Cork do win the All-Ireland and you've been to all these Cork games, there's no point in punishing yourself because you're pissed off that, you know, day trippers got tickets and you didn't.
Yeah, and I see Cork are putting on that event at Parky Cueve on Sunday as well, which I presume tickets are free for that. I haven't checked that out. Maybe they need to cover costs in some respect, but that's not a bad place to be either, especially if Cork actually win the All-Ireland. The other thing we wanted to touch on before we get into the news round is Scotty Scheffler's press conference from earlier on. So I think we might be able to hear some audio from Scotty Scheffler's press conference. So this is pretty extraordinary. I don't know, this is like a real existential moment for one of the greatest golfers that we've ever seen. Have a listen.
This is not a fulfilling life. It's fulfilling from a sense of accomplishment, but it's not fulfilling from a sense of, like, the deepest, you know, places of your heart. You know, there's a lot of people that make it to what they thought was going to fulfill them in life, and then you get there and all of a sudden you get to number one in the world and then they're like, what's the point? And, you know, I really do believe that, because, you know, what is the point? You're like, why do I want to win this tournament so bad? That's something that I wrestle with on a daily basis. It's like showing up at the Masters every year. It's like, why do I want to win this golf tournament so badly? Why do I want to win the Open Championship so badly? I don't know, because if I win, it's going to be awesome for about 2 minutes. And then we're going to get to the next week and it's going to be like, hey, you won two majors this year. How important is it for you to win the FedEx Cup playoffs? And it's just like, we're back here again, you know? So we really do. We work so hard for such little moments. And, you know, I'm kind of a sicko. I love putting in the work. I love being able to practice. I love getting out to live out my dreams. But at the end of the day, sometimes I just don't understand the point. You know, that's why I talk about families being my priority, because it really is. You know, I'm blessed to be able to come out here and play golf, but if my golf ever started affecting my home life, or it ever affected the relationship I have with my wife or with my son, you know, that's going to be the last day that I play out here for a living. You know, this is not the be all end all. This is not the most important thing in my life. And that's why I wrestle with, why is this so important to me? Because, you know, I would much rather be a great father than I would be a great golfer. You know, that at the end of the day, that's what's more important to me.
Scottie Scheffler going dangerously close to realizing that sport actually just does not matter in any way, shape or form.
Very Don Draper, isn't it?
Yeah.
Doesn't he say that what is happiness? It's the moment before you need more happiness. Like there's a little bit of a cynical bent.
But what about
that.
Those 2 minutes, Scotty? That's why I thought he glossed over those 2 minutes a little bit. Those 2 minutes are amazing.
Exactly. Is it not a little bit of a concern that Royal Portrush has done this to him 2 days before the tournament's actually started, where he's like had this realization that this is actually really crap?
Yeah.
He's
done that to him.
Not sure if it's Royal Portrush or the people asking him questions.
Yeah.
That he has to deal with. But I think there's a sense of like his questioning even isn't, you know, it's almost a case of like, but I am doing it. This is like I can't, like there's a sort of an addiction to it as well, and there's a need for achievement and so on that he's realizing doesn't have much logic to it, but I don't think it means he wants it any less.
I'm a bit of a sicko. That's sort of therapist chair stuff. I think he's actually analysed himself brilliantly there, to be fair. The news round is with UPMC Orthopaedic Care. When things don't move, rotate or bend like they used to, choose us to help you get back in action. And it is the golf that you're starting with this evening, Cameron.
Yeah, and we found out the groupings for the opening two rounds of the Open Championship at Portrush. And Shane Lowry has been grouped with world number one and Friedrich Nietzsche fan Scottie Scheffler for the opening rounds. The claret native returns this week to Portrush, where he lifted the claret jug in 2019. Lowry and Scheffler will tee off alongside 2021 champion Colin Morikawa just before 10 past 10 on Thursday morning, while Rory McIlroy will join Justin Thomas and Tommy Fleetwood for the opening two rounds. They're part of the afternoon groupings on Thursday. And it's an early day one start for Padraig Harrington. He tees off the competition alongside rookie Tom McKibben and Nikolai Højgaard at 25-7 in the morning at the County Antrim Links on Thursday.
Very exciting week in store. We're going to begin our build-up to that as well with Nathan after 9 p.m. this evening. Now, big transfer news from a Republic of Ireland standpoint.
Yeah, to Everton goes Mark Travers, the Republic of Ireland goalkeeper, signing from Bournemouth in a deal thought to be worth over €4.6 million. He has agreed a 4-year contract with the Toffees. He's previously made 24 league appearances for the Cherries across 5 seasons, and he's hoping to push his new teammate Jordan Pickford to become the first choice keeper for Everton.
Jordan's an outstanding goalkeeper for club and country. I just can't wait to compete with him and your goalkeepers here, and want to be a Premier League player, and this is the place to be and compete. And yeah, being around this environment is huge. And we're going to push each other every day in training, and whatever happens on the weekend, we're going to be there for each other and make the most of every opportunity that come.
Gavin's been in touch to say, good man, Scotty, a bit more interesting than, yeah, I think I'm hitting the ball pretty good right now. And Liam's been in touch on YouTube to say, I come to sport to get away from my inner monologue of existential dread. Thanks, Scotty.
When Scotty starts going on about Gary Cooper is the strong silent type, yeah. You know we're in trouble again.
We have big news with regards to Tallaght Stadium, Turner's Cross.
Yeah, they'll host the opening two fixtures in Ireland's bid to qualify for the European Under-21 Championships. So Jim Crawford's side will host Andorra at the Dublin venue on Tuesday, September 9th, before a meeting with Slovakia in Cork on Friday, October 10th. Ireland are in Group D for that qualifying campaign, along with back-to-back champions England. Some other transfer news today. Jordan Henderson has signed a two-year contract with Keith Andrews' Brentford. The former Liverpool captain was available after leaving Ajax this summer. And Manchester City have extended their kit deal with Puma in a deal worth a Premier League record of over €1 billion. So the extension, which runs until 2035, is valued at €115.2 million a year, up from €74.9 million. It surpasses the €103.6 million a year deal rivals Manchester United signed with Adidas in 2023.
Not a whole pile of confidence for Mark Travers coming in here from Thomas Morgan. He says Travers will barely play for Everton and then go on loan.
I don't know if he'll go on loan. You see, I think he's been probably signed as a backup. I fair play to him for thinking that he's going to challenge Pickford, but it's one of those moves to the Premier League that you kind of look at and think, would he be better off staying as a Championship goalkeeper playing 48 games a season?